Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you want to do it, or do you want me to do it?
You can do it.
Okay, we are here at the building where the parole hearing is going to be taking place. It is
8:46.
I think Leo's case is going to be heard around 10. And I'm right here with Gilbert too.
Yeah. I think we should sit in the back this time.
Oh, I will need to be right by the podium
to make sure the equipment is fine. Okay, no problem. Yeah, sure. So we're at the break here. They've given like a 5-minute break, and I think the Schofield case will be called very first. Next, everybody seems to be here. Cup is ready. Some people from CTP. Chrissy is here, and Jacob Orr will also be here speaking for the state on the 10th. Not sure if anybody's going to be calling in from the Psalm family. I don't think so, but that's about all we know right now.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's 10:35 a.m. We're back on the record. This is Melinda Coonrod with the Commission on Offender Review. I'm joined with Commissioner Davison and Commissioner Wyant. We're about to start the full portion of the docket where all three commissioners will be voting. The first case that we're calling is item 22 on page 12, Leo Schofield. This is an effective interview that was conducted on March 27, 2024 at Everglades CI. The investigator is recommending parole. Good morning, Judge. We'd be happy to hear from you.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Scott Kopp. I'm the attorney for Leo Schofield. I'm not going to say much until the end. I want some folks that mean a lot to Leo who are present. There's three that are present. They're going to speak. First, I'd like to call Sergeant Simmons.
Good morning. My name is Sergeant James Simmons. I'm currently employed at Jefferson Correctional Institution. I've been with the department 28 years. Of those 28 years, I've known Leo Schofield for 27 of those years. Of them 27 years, me and Leo Schofield has worked together for the last 10 years. Leo Schofield was a great inmate at Hardy Correctional Institution. He was a great asset there. I know M.A. Schofield had took the theology class to earn a degree in that. I know he had a large Bible class. He also helped me in the lock and key department. I was a lock and key sergeant. He was my orderly. One day we were working, pulling a lock out And I was a real bad diabetic, and my blood sugar dropped. As I was falling forward, they tell me that Leo Schofield caught me before I hit the concrete floor and placed me in a chair. And he knew I was a bad diabetic, and he took the meter out of my pocket and placed it on my device to see what my blood sugar was, and it was very low. And he got me medical attention quickly and got me some staff in there to help me out. And to this day, I am very thankful Leo Schofield was there to help me. I know Leo Schofield has a great support staff with his wife and daughter and other family members. In my professional opinion, I prefer that Leo Schofield would make a great candidate for parole.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Sergeant. David Welch.
Good morning, Honorable Commissioners, Madam Chair, Commissioner Davidson, Commissioner Wyatt. I stand before you today on behalf of Leo Schofield because this is a case that I know in and out because I met Leo when I was 17 years old, when I first entered the Department of Corrections. Leo Schofield met me off the bus when I was there, scared, didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do, what to do with my life from then on. Just received a natural life sentence at that point with a possibility of parole after 25 years. I am grateful for the grace of parole. I'm a proud member of CTP. But Leo Schofield was an educational clerk back then. This was in 1994. Again, I was 17 years old. I'm now 47. Leo Schofield told me when I first met him, I was going through orientation process, that I could do my time a couple of ways. I could be like others and just go play poker or play basketball and run around the rec yard and waste my life, or I could make the best of it. And that's what I did. He got me an education as an orderly. So from then on, I got my GED. I actually graduated, got my GED before I would have graduated if I was in high school on the street. From then on, he continued to encourage me and impress me to go into vocational trades. So that started me on the path that ultimately led me to be here in front of you today, to do my time wisely, to take advantage of opportunities, to get an education, and to do something with my life. Leo Schofield also signed me up for Kairos Prison Ministry. I went through a Kairos retreat there. Didn't know anything about Kairos, but Leo signed me up for that and told me it would be something good for my life. That, in turn, changed my life because I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And from then on, now today, I stand before you, having been released, having been terminated from parole. I'm now the chair of Kairos Prison Ministries at Avon Park CI. In fact, tomorrow, I have 36 men that are under me that I'll be leading in to do Kairos 57 at Avon Park. So from then on, from the very first time I met Leo, until today, I am now still a citizen volunteer. I go back into the prisons every month. I'm leading Kairos 57 next month. And the education I received was because of the influence of Mr. Leo Schofield when I first met him as a teenager. I've known him for 30 years. His character, demeanor have never changed one bit. And I just know, out of all respect to the offense and the life that was lost in this case, Leo Schofield is not a threat to society in any kind of way. If Leo Schofield is released, I can guarantee you that I will be there for him in Tampa at Noah's House. I can guarantee you that he will participate in CTP programs and also be here in Tallahassee to represent others. Leo Schofield will be a benefit if you guys give him the grace of parole today. I'm just simply asking, as someone that knows him for a long time, to give him that chance, because I believe in Leo Schofield. I know as the only request that you guys asked of me to not let you down, Leo Schofield likewise will not let you down if you grant him the grace of parole. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Welch.
Thank you. Jeff Reuter.
My name is Jeffrey Reuter, CTP alumni, Noah's House Community Outreach House Coordinator, Commissioner Coonrod, Commissioner Davidson, Commissioner Wyatt. I've known Leo for well over a decade. We were students together in numerous classes. We facilitated classes together. We lived in a dorm together. We got recreation together. We just lived in prison together, and I know firsthand what that involves. And Leo was always, he always stayed the course. And no matter what came at us, he had a clear head and solid judgment. This is a very unique case. And I know that Leo's heart goes out to his wife, Michelle. Our hearts go out to Michelle and her families. So Leo is very mindful of that as well. He worked firsthand with me with the Peyton Tuthill and Peyton Tuthill Foundation and Miss Tuthill. He recorded a record for her, turned over, copyrighted the record, and then sent the record to Miss Tuthill, where we recorded that music at Hardy CI. And now that's part of the foundation's story, where they actually help raises money for the children of scholarship victims. I know that we're not here to determine guilt or innocence, but can Leo, pursuant to 947.18, can Leo conduct himself as a citizen? as a free citizen, as a responsible citizen, and I submit that he can. Pastor Tony Parker and I from NOAA's Community Outreach, we've been talking about Leo for the past 2 weeks. There's a brand new house at NOAA's house. There's four guys in it right now. Gregory Samuels, who was released yesterday, was the newest guy in the house. He came yesterday. So we have a bed for Leo at the new house where I'm the coordinator at that house. We have an all-star team there. We will help lead and guide Leo post-release if you grant him grace today. And that is my humble request. Would you please grant Leo grace today? Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure who's on the phone from CTP, but you got about a minute. Could you pick one person to speak, please?
Yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Troy Martin. Thank you. Mr. Coonrod, Mrs. Coonrod, Mr. Davidson, Mr. Wyant, and thank you for the honest opportunity to speak on Leo's behalf. My condolences to the victim, Michelle, and her family as well. I initially met Leo in October 2002 at South Bay, where he taught and played guitar in the chapel, in the choir. Leo also taught guys to play the guitar. He continues to do so today in CTP. I see him on a weekly basis. He's thriving in the program. I believe it was a group called the OJs that sang a song that says, "I love music." I want to say to you today, with all due respect, that Leo loves music as well. And he loves it so much that he's willing to give his time and energy to help others learn to play the guitar and have a love for music as well. I believe that he's an excellent candidate for parole. And I believe that he is the epitome of a model prisoner that would translate into being a successful citizen in society. I respectfully request that you parole them today. Thank you for your time and consideration.
I'm not going to belabor, Commissioners, what you already know. We've had our meetings. You've reviewed the packet. I think you pretty much know what you want to do, and I suspect you're going to do the right thing, and I trust you to do that. I can't say more than what these men have said and what you've read. Leo has continued to achieve and exceed expectations wherever he's been. The one thing I do want to address, if you do grant him parole, which I believe you're going to do, I want to address the walkout date because it's very important. It's very important to Leo. It's very important to all of us. He needs to go as soon as possible, 13 days. He needs to go April 30th, not in June, not two more months. If that becomes the walkout date, that, in my opinion, is merely punitive. It serves no purpose whatsoever. With that, I'll turn the podium over to the state.
Thank you very much. Now we're going to move to those in opposition. Mr. Orr is here. And do we have anyone online wishing to speak? If so, press star 6.
Right, Hello?
Good morning. Are you speaking on the Schofield case?
Yes, but I'm not in opposition. I'm his brother. I tried to call in last year, and I wasn't able to talk. I just wanted to say that my brother's been, he's been doing a lot of great things in prison, but he was doing a lot of great things before he went to prison. I didn't have much of a father, so he basically raised me, and I just wanted to be there for him for whatever I could, because I know he's a good man, a good person. And he's one of the only reasons why I've been able to make it through this life. And I just wanted to say thank you for an opportunity to get him out of prison. And I pray that you guys do the right thing today. And that's all I ask.
And what is your name?
My name is Jason Schofield.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Schofield. All right, Mr. Orr, we'll hear from you.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
My name is Jake Orr. I'm an assistant state attorney in the 10th Judicial Circuit. It's good to be with you again. Last year, I addressed you regarding this case, and I told you then that you cannot pursue justice without first pursuing truth. And I believe that to be a true statement, and I think that it has a particular relevance in this case. The reason being, there's been a whole lot of media attention, as you know. There's been TV shows, print media, multiple episode podcasts, and I'm reading that there's going to be more. There's going to be a TV drama series, maybe, and some sort of novels in the works. It's all very entertaining. And in truth, it's an interesting case. I'm not going to go into all the facts because I think you're kind of familiar with some of them. But it's a circumstantial case, lots of twists and turns, and the storytelling related to it has been outstanding. However, the truth-telling has been unacceptable. An example of that that involves this commission happened in May of 2020 when Jerry Hill addressed you regarding the case. Mr. Hill recited certain facts of the case, including going into who found the body in this case. And I've pulled the transcript, and I just want to read a couple things that Mr. Hill told you. He told you, quote, Mrs. Schofield's body was discovered in a canal located in a hilly, wooded area on the morning of February 27th, 87, by Leo Schofield Sr., close quote. Later in his presentation, Mr. Hill told you that Leo was driven by an inner force, and he said he felt drawn to that area and felt Michelle was calling out to him. He said he had told Detective Russell, and I'm still quoting here, told Detective Russell that his daughter-in-law was within a certain distance. Now, the podcast that's got the most attention covering this case covered that hearing in 2020. They even used some of the audio, but they got it wrong. They edited out Mr. Hill telling you that the body was found by Schofield Sr. They edited out Mr. Hill telling you that he was searching for his daughter-in-law. They played select clips about Leo searching, and then the narrator came in and said this, Jerry Hill gets it wrong in a major way. The narrator stated that Jerry Hill made it sound like the body was found by the defendant, Leo Schofield Jr. Now take a minute and focus on that reporting. Obviously, that's not what happened. You were here. But it's worse than that, because this is not argument or interpretation of facts of the record. It's not. It's not a narrative told from a particular point of view. That is 180 degrees opposite of what happened in front of you. It's false. This should cause concern for anybody that thinks they know facts about this case because they heard a podcast, read something on social media or the internet, or even a newspaper article. Because good storytellers have picked up this case and they've told stories that are incomplete, that misrepresent the actual evidence in the case, and sometimes are false. You are reading, or more likely hearing, a very compelling story that has no fidelity to the truth. Today, we've gone through one black and white example that involved this commission, but there are many, many others when you get into the facts of the case. Now, why am I telling you this? Why is it relevant to today? Because my one ask of you is whatever decision you make, don't base it on some sensational media accounts that are set to dramatic music. Base it on truth. In the criminal justice system, trial courts, appellate courts, parole commission, whatever it is, it's of the utmost importance that we always pursue truth because it's our only chance at pursuing justice. This case has been reviewed by multiple courts, multiple trial judges, multiple panels of appellate judges for over 30 years. And there's a difference between what they do in those reviews and the entertainment industry. In court, you can't edit out the facts you don't like. You can't edit the facts to fit your storyline. What those judges have done is reviewed this case based on the actual transcript, the actual evidence, and the law. And in all those reviews, every time, they've determined there is sufficient evidence to support this conviction. Now, in the interest of fairness, I think it's important that I also tell you that I'm not telling you about those falsehoods in the media for you to hold them against Mr. Schofield. I'm not. That's not my intention. He did not write those stories, and he didn't edit the audio. I told you about those falsehoods so you could focus on the truth. And truth is, from what I know, he's been an outstanding inmate. Sounds like he's got an incredible support system, and you should consider all that. I also know that you should consider that he was convicted of a terribly violent crime. And you know that you must use caution before you release such an individual. I guess what I'm saying is, in the end, if you determine that justice requires he be paroled or not, based on an honest review of the evidence, the law, the time he served, and all the factors that you would consider in any other case, and you do that with an honest review, then justice will be served. That's all anyone could ever ask of you. You have a tough job. I thank you for your service to our state, and I thank you for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Orr. Do we have either Ricky or Jesse Salm online? If so, press star 6 to unmute your phone. All right, hearing none, we'll proceed with the vote, starting with Commissioner Davidson.
Okay. In the matter of Leo Schofield, I've had the opportunity to review this case in its entirety. I've listened very closely to the testimony in support as well as the testimony in opposition here today. Today is not the first day that I've had the opportunity to give input into this case. The last time this case was before us, my vote was to extend Mr. Schofield's PPRD by 24 months and to refer him to the Corrections Transition Program at the Everglades Correctional Institution. However, the vote of this commission was to extend by 12 months, which would set the new PPRD at June 25, 2024, and in agreement to refer Mr. Schofield to the Corrections Transition Program at the Everglades Correctional Institution. Since that time, Mr. Schofield has participated in the CTP program, has done well, and I think that he has greatly benefited from his time there. I think that he will continue to benefit from his time in the Corrections Transition Program if he continues to serve until the PPRD date that this commission set, which is June 25, 2024. So I know that there was some question here about a walkout date, and I think that that walkout date should be consistent with the PPRD that this commission set less than a year ago. That date is not punitive. That date is necessary for moving Mr. Schofield toward a successful parole, if he is paroled here today. So, as Mr. Orr has requested my honest review of this case, and that is my honest review of this case. So, my vote here today is not a question of guilt or innocence. That is the province of the judicial system. This case has been litigated both in the trial as well as the appellate arenas, and that determination is that Mr. Schofield is guilty of first-degree murder. Today, my vote is to parole Mr. Schofield to the max on June 25, 2024, terms 4 and 5.
Thank you. Commissioner Wyatt?
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you all for your testimony today as it relates to Mr. Schofield. And I, too, have reviewed this case in its entirety, and I'm familiar with the case. I've had meetings regarding the case. And during the last commission action, I stressed the importance of programming. Mr. Schofield has been incarcerated for a long period of time. A lot has changed since then. So I felt it important that he get some programming from the CTP program. Since his admission into that program, he's done well. He's completed numerous classes. The testimony here today, of course, speaks highly of him as far as his interactions with those in the program. In reviewing this case in its entirety, considering all things, and I too support the court systems and their findings, upon my review of this case, my vote today is to parole to the max April 30, 2024, reasons 4 and 5.
And after review of the entire record and hearing all the statements, both in opposition and support, my vote would be to parole to the max for April 30th, 2024, reasons 4 and 5. Commissioner Davidson, what are your conditions?
The special conditions are enter and complete the NOAA Community Outreach Program for a period of 1 year.
Agree.
Mandatory mental health and substance abuse evaluation and treatment as necessary.
Agree.
Anger and stress management evaluation and treatment as necessary.
Agree.
6 months community control during the NOAA Community Outreach Program, followed by 18 months of curfew, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Agree.
Participate in the aftercare components of the FIU Alumni Program and the NOAA Community Outreach Program.
Agree.
No contact with the victim's family in case number 88-2346.
Agree.
NAAA 3 times per week for the first year, 2 times per week thereafter.
Agree.
Pay restitution to be determined in case number 88-2346.
Agree.
and mandatory attendance at the first supervision before the Florida Commission on Offender Review unless otherwise excused for good cause by the commission or the parole officer.
Agree.
I don't have any additional terms.
I don't either.
That concludes my terms.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll just take a real brief break so that the cameras can be removed from the room. Thank you.
Leo is being paroled, and he'll be getting out of Everglades on April 30th.
What happened today, obviously, it's a good thing, but it's just a step.
A step on a much longer road. Leo is going to be paroled, then he'll go to a halfway house. But he's not free, and people need to understand, he's still a convicted murderer. He is not free. He's got all kinds of restrictions and all kinds of hoops he's going to have to jump through. And it's going to be extremely difficult. While it's a good thing, in a sense, it's prison without bars is what it is. And some folks have extreme difficulty doing it because you look like you're free and you can go out in public and you can do certain things, but he's going to literally have to account for literally every minute of his day. And he has to have permission to do everything. Try living that way. So, the fight now turns to looking into getting him exonerated. But he's in for a very difficult time. Make no mistake about it.
You want to walk and talk for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
I gotta stop crying.
You're allowed to cry.
The whole entire day is exhausting. You know, you think you're going to be calm and cool and relaxed, and they start talking and the tone and the emotions and the butterflies just kick in, and you just start going, oh, here come the tears. Here come the tears. And so it's a lot. It's hard to put into words the level of emotion that I feel right now. Like, a lot of people are saying congratulations and yay and it's exciting, but it's... We're not done. He's not free. I mean, he's out, but it's not over.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.